This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا for coming to this program. So we'll be inshallah بإذن الله تعالى talking about the basics of zakat, and we'll try to cover most of the topics that are related to our life in Canada, بإذن الله تعالى. We're not farmers, we're not, miners, but we, most of people here are professionals, or they have their own business. So we'll try to focus on these areas in the chapter of Zakat, within chapter of Zakat. First of all, let's talk about the importance of this pillar. Yani, it is enough to know that it is one of the five pillars of Islam, right? If you have any house, you know, any building, if some of the pillars are broken or they are not very strong, that you don't feel, it's normal that you don't feel this building is safe, right? So same thing, Islam has been built on five pillars, and Muslims are supposed to pay attention to the importance of these major obligations. So the way we think that Salat is a major obligation, you know, is a second pillar of Islam. And there are some ulama who said, you know, the one who doesn't pray, he could be a non-Muslim. There are some Muslims who believe that, some Muslim scholars. We know the importance of fasting in Ramadan, right? If someone breaks his fast on purpose, people will be worried, will be shocked, will be surprised. It's a major violation. So I guess the same way we have to think about zakat, because it is one of the pillars of Islam. The problem nowadays is when we talk to many brothers and sisters, you feel like sometimes, you know, they're thinking like they're dealing with faza'il a'mal, one of faza'il a'mal, one of the voluntary acts of ibadah. The brother will come and tell you, I didn't calculate my zakat for 2 years or 3 years. I should be doing this. Like, he's talking about something that is a nafila. And that shouldn't be the case with zakat. Zakat is ibadah, is a major obligation, and we have to take care of it. It is always linked with the establishment of salat. It was mentioned, combined with the obligation of performing the salat in the Quran more than 26 times in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have the warning in Surah Al-Tawbah, if I'm not mistaken, is Ayah 34, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those who collect gold and silver, basically wealth, and did not spend them in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then give them a tidings, not glad tidings, not tidings of a severe punishment, severe torment. So this is a warning that is found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah has explained this kind of warning. There is a famous hadith that says that the one who doesn't pay the zakat of his gold and silver, usually when we talk about gold and silver, we talk about currencies. That was the time of the currency. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their currency was made of gold, either made of gold or silver. So the hadith, which is authentic and is famous, that his gold and silver will be turned into plates during the barzakh. And these plates of gold and silver will be heated. And his body will be branded with these plates during a time the length of which will be 50,000 years. Of course, this measurement is something that we're not familiar with. It's al-hayat al-barzakhiyya. It's talking about al-barzakh, Allahu alam. But the hadith says, at the end, on the day of judgment, he will be taken to account, and then he will see if he will go to Jannah or hellfire, which is a proof that this person was a Muslim, even though he was neglecting the obligation of zakat. He neglected this obligation, but he's still a Muslim. This is a proof that the person who does not pay zakat out of greed or negligence is still a Muslim. Right? Because at the end it says, he will find out about his fate at the end. But the hadith is talking about some sort of punishment during the barzakh, before the day of judgment, which is something very dangerous. We're not supposed to expose ourselves to this kind of punishment, right? And we don't know the nature of this punishment, but we have to take this ahadith as at face value. I mean, they are real. Because we don't know about other people who went, who passed away, and they came back and they told us about this barzakh life, right? We know the ahadith, we know the ayat, and we have to believe in their meaning, that they are real, that the Prophet ﷺ was not exaggerating. The meanings are real, and they are meant to warn Muslims about the importance of this ibadah. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about kenz here. Kenz. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ. And the word kenz is usually translated as treasure. And it is something that is blamed, right? It's an action that is blamed in Sharia. But the ulama, they said, the one who pays zakat is not going to be blamed. So the wealth that zakat was paid on is not described as kenz. Which means that Muslims are not blamed for making more money. They are not being blamed for becoming wealthy. It's halal to become wealthy. It's halal to make money. They would be blamed if they ignore the obligation of zakat. And this is the tafsir of all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who talked about this ayah. Now, those who deny the obligation of zakat are not Muslims, to be clear about it. If he says, I don't believe that zakat is obligatory, because هذا معلوم من الدين بالضرورة. What does it mean? It's a basic knowledge that every Muslim knows. Every Muslim knows that zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. So if someone comes and said, no, I don't believe it's an obligation, then he becomes a kafir, to be clear about it. But as I said, if someone is Muslim and he believes that zakat is mandatory, but he doesn't pay it out of negligence or greed, then he's still Muslim, but he will be exposing himself to a great danger. Tayyib. Now, what is the wisdom behind this obligation? What are the benefits? The ulama mentioned about many benefits, and they are obvious actually. We said both individuals and communities will benefit and they will flourish when zakat is paid, when this obligation is fulfilled. And the wealth is purified. This is how we purify our wealth, especially if we are business people, or even if you are not a businessman, but you work with a company, you know you are not doing something haram, your job is halal, but you know in this country that your company has a line of credit, they have interest income, they have some certain activities that are not Sharia compliant, but you are an engineer or you are a professional working with this company, your job is halal, but you still, as a Muslim, if you are a practicing Muslim, you will have some kind of doubts, right? You cannot have like full peace of mind. You still have some feelings you feel about it, that, I'm working this company, doing this and doing this. Yes, I'm not doing it, not involved in it, but how about my income? So your income is halal because you are doing something halal, but it's still, this is the best way to purify our wealth. And business people, sometimes they exaggerate about describing their products when they advertise for these products. And they might actually give some false information here and there. They might actually treat some of their clients with injustice. So this is the purpose of giving zakat, is to purify our income. Purify our income. The heart is purified from greed and selfishness. Yeah, when you give, you're not selfish, you're not greedy, and you become free from these feelings. You control money. Money doesn't control you. were able to easily, alhamdulillah, reach to your account or to your pocket and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sort of training even for the regular sadaqah. Because when it comes to zakat, we're supposed to pay only 2.5, which is not a big amount. But as Muslims, we are encouraged to give more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in general, the word zakat means in Arabic purification and growth and blessing, barakah, nama, and tahara. It's taken from this ayah. Some meanings are taken from this ayah in Surah At-Tawbah 103. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take from their wealth the charity by which you purify them and sanctify them, and invoke Allah's invocations or blessings upon them. Indeed, your invocations are a source of reassurance and tuma'nina and calmness. So, I like to talk about this ayah all the time, because I had a personal experience with it. One time I was giving khutbah, I remember, and this is my guess. I was giving khutbah, and then when I mentioned this ayah, there was a young man in front of me. His face turned red the moment I mentioned this ayah. He was kind of surprised, and his face became red. And that's my guess, that he thought that Allah is telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take from their wealth a charity and put it in his pocket to spend it on his own family. And the case, what is the case with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his family? They're not allowed to benefit from zakat. Zakat was made haram for him and for his family. Anas radiallahu anhu used to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would find a date in the street, one date. And he said, had it not been for the fear that this date would be of charity, from charity, I would have eaten it. He would go to his house, another hadith. These are authentic, highly authentic ahadith. He would go to his house and he would find a date on his bed. And he said, if I know that this date is not from charity, I would have eaten it. In his house, one time he went to a warehouse where they were collecting the zakat money, and they had a big pile of zakat of dates. And he had Al-Hasan with him, his grandson, who was around that time, maybe 5-6 years, between 4 to 6. Because when he passed away, alayhi salatu was salam, Al-Hasan was around 7 or 8 years old, right? So Al-Hasan took one date and put it in his mouth, a child. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it from his mouth. And he said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الزَّكَاةَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَنَّنَا أَنَّا لَا نَأْكُلُ مِنْ أَمْوَالِ الصَّدَقَةِ. So don't you know that it is haram for us to eat, you know, from sadaqah, from zakat? I mean, if I was in his place or you in his place, I'm sure that you would say, he's only a child. It's only one date. Come on. Take it easy. Go to the market, buy some date and replace it, right? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very keen to fulfill the commands of his Lord, alayhi salatu wasalam. So anyway, zakat was haram for him, and he was not allowed to benefit from it. And this could be used as a proof that he was a true messenger of Allah. Now, the other benefits that are mentioned, we have the famous hadith that this zakat should be taken from the wealthy in the community and distributed among the poor. Now, how the poor will benefit, their hearts will be purified too, but from something else, not greed and selfishness. From what? From jealousy, right? They feel that the wealthy members of the community are fulfilling their duty, they're giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not selfish, they're giving to their brothers and sisters in the community, so they feel good about the rest of the community. And their needs will be fulfilled bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The Islamic Brotherhood will be empowered, right? People will like each other. People will love each other because this obligation is fulfilled. And no one is left without food. No one is left without, you know, basic needs. طيب. Now we need to understand the zakat. We need to look at the pillars and the most important conditions. The first one is the intention of zakat payment. It's really important. Why? Because we have two types of charity. That's the simple reason, right? It's a simple reason. It's an obvious reason. You have a salat, the faridha, the five daily prayers and jum'ah, and you have the nawafil. Obviously, when you stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you make takbir, you need to know what you are doing, right? You need to know, you decide, you have to decide, you make a decision. Am I praying dhuhr or praying nafila? Am I praying isha or nafila? So you have to make a decision. When it comes to zakat, it's the same thing. And here I heard people saying, I was having a discussion with a brother one time about zakat, and he said, I don't have to calculate my zakat at the end of the year. Why? Because I give sadaqah, charity, throughout the whole year. So I don't need to calculate my wealth. And he's a businessman. He has inventory and he has cash and he has to pay attention to this, right? And take care of it. It's an ibadah. No. So this is something that we need to pay attention to. If you are giving regular sadaqah, you cannot turn it into a zakat at the end of the year. You cannot say, okay, I paid like 3,000 as a regular sadaqah, I will just turn it into zakat at the end of the year. You can't do that. Or you give a loan to someone, and this person is struggling, is not able to pay you back after 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you tell him, brother, just take it, I will count it as zakat. You can't do that. Because when you gave it to him in the beginning, it was a loan. It was not zakat. And this is a bad loan because the person is not able to pay you back. We'll talk about good loans and bad loans. They are important when it comes to the calculation of zakat. Nisab. Nisab is something that we need to really pay attention to. There are some issues with the nisab here in modern times. At the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, it was easy, but we'll talk about how the way we calculate the nisab. But it is the amount of wealth which makes you obligated to pay zakat. Very simple. Right? And could be in gold, could be in silver, we'll talk about it. But this is something for people who don't have money and they started, or they didn't have money in the past, and they started making some savings. You know, this is not for wealthy people who have hundreds of thousands, millions in their bank account, and they've been paying zakat every year. So they have a zakat anniversary. They have a deadline, and they know their deadline. We know majority is for Muslims. Unfortunately, I don't know how they do it, and they calculate it, and how come a majority of Muslims are paying zakat in Ramadan. This doesn't make sense. Because it is related to the hawl, which is the passing of 12 months. But the fact that majority of Muslims are paying zakat in Ramadan, it is a proof that many of them are delaying the payment of their zakat. Or they delayed it at least in the first time. In the first year, zakat was an obligation upon them. They delayed it till Ramadan to seek what? The virtue of Ramadan. Or the multiplication of rewards. While they could be sinful. By delaying the payment of their zakat, because zakat is an immediate obligation. After 12 months, when 12 months pass, we have to make the calculation on that day and give our zakat. You can delay it for 1 week, 2 weeks to find out, yani, what do you do with your zakat? Do you give it locally, send it back home to your family members, to give it to ISC, give it to National Zakat Foundation? So, you know, you are debating with yourself. You can delay it, but you cannot debate with yourself for 3 months or 4 months. It doesn't work. But 1 week could be acceptable. 10 days, more than that is not. It doesn't make sense. So the nisab, as I said, is for the people who didn't have money, and they started saving. Now they went there. My advice these days for these new savers: when your savings reach around 6,000, then you have to pay attention, because the nisab in the last year, was between 6,000 to 7,000. That's the range, right? I'll tell you about the nisab as of March 9th, 2 days ago. I have it in this presentation here, which is 6,900. But the nisab, the range of the nisab in the last year, I'm talking about gold nisab, not silver. Silver is a different story. But I'm talking about gold nisab is between 6,000 to 700. So my advice to young, new graduates who are saving money: when your savings reach around 6,000, you need to pay attention. Start paying attention. And you check the price of gold. Just go to goldprice.org. And of course, it's not stable. It goes up and down. So when you find that your savings have reached the nisab, you mark that day. That's the beginning of your hawl, the next concept, hawl. What is the hawl? 12 months in the Islamic calendar. 12 months in the Islamic calendar. So let's say you reach the nisab, or your savings reach the nisab on today's what? March 11? March 11. Okay, March 11, check the Hijri date. And you'll find that it is Sha'ban, could be Sha'ban 18, something like that, 19, 17? So the 15th was on Tuesday, right? Wednesday 16th, today is 19th. Okay, Sha'ban 19th, that is your zakat anniversary. That is your deadline. You mark it down, write it down, Sha'ban 19. And Sha'ban 19 of next year, 1445 in the Hijri calendar, it is your now obligation to pay zakat. You have to pay zakat on that day. And it's very simple, ikhwan, right? Don't wait until Ramadan. I know it's only 11 days till Ramadan, but that's, this date here is very close. But how about if your anniversary or your deadline falls on 2 months before Ramadan, 3 months? Again, you're not allowed to delay it, because you think that your rewards will be multiplied by 70 times. The hadith of 70 times is not authentic. That our ibadat will be, the rewards of our ibadat in Ramadan will be multiplied by 70. The hadith is not authentic. There are two main excellent things in Ramadan: our fasting in Ramadan, the reward has been kept secret. We will find out about our rewards on the Day of Judgment. And there is the well-known multiplication of rewards on the night of Laylatul Qadr, right? It is better than 1,000 nights. And that's it. But the hadith that says all your ibadat, the reward of all your ibadat will be multiplied into 70 times, is not authentic. And I know many people actually wait for Ramadan because of this. Now, al-hawl, we, as I said, Islamically, we are supposed to follow the Hijri calendar. But for some reason, there are people who said, no, I want to follow the Gregorian calendar for personal reasons, for the sake of, you know, taxes or whatever. It is okay. It is not haram. But the payment is not 2.5. It's 2.577. There is a small difference. So to keep it simple and make it all the time 2.5, follow the Hijri calendar, and that's it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So now this statement is very important here, that zakat is due on the wealth of any Muslim. Which means if he's a kafir, zakat is not due on his wealth. He doesn't have to pay zakat. But if he lives in a Muslim country, and this Muslim country is following the rules of Sharia, they might pay another tax. But they don't pay zakat, because zakat is ibadah. So Muslims are supposed to pay zakat. Young or old, majority of Muslim scholars believe young people who did not reach the age of puberty have to pay zakat. They don't pay it by themselves, but their guardians, their parents, pay it on their behalf. And this is the majority, the opinion of the majority of Muslim scholars. I know in the Hanafi school of thought, they believe that children, even if they are wealthy, yani his dad passed away and he left 2 million or 3 million for him in the account. He still doesn't have to pay zakat because he's a child, he's 5 years old. In the opinion, in the view of the majority of Muslim scholars, then the guardian of this young boy or young girl has to fulfill his duty and pay zakat on his behalf. Male or female, yeah, to both. That is held in savings for one calendar year after it has reached the nisab threshold. Now, there are some misconceptions. One of the misconceptions, we dealt with all these misconceptions on a regular basis. Yani, we got these questions like almost every year. I'm saving money to get married. I don't have to pay zakat. No, it's not true. You have to pay zakat. If it is cash in your hand, in the bank account, you need to pay zakat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your plans and help you to get married, but you still have to pay zakat. I'm saving money to buy a house for my family. Yeah, it's a good cause, mashallah, but you still have to pay zakat. Cash in your hand, pay zakat on it. Saving money for Hajj. Oh, mashallah, it seems a very good excuse. You still have to pay zakat. Right? It's an obligation. I don't have a job, but I have savings in my bank account, in the bank. Like I have 70,000, 80,000. Wow, that's way above the nisab. It's a good money. You need to pay zakat. Even if you lost your job, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, inshallah, you find another job, but you still have to pay zakat. Do I exclude the value of the nisab? I receive this question many times, which means that they tell you, I have 20,000 in the bank, in my account, right? Do I have to pay zakat on 14,000 only? Why? Because what they have in mind is that they are allowed to take away the value of the nisab. So they pay on what is above the nisab. This is the understanding of some brothers and sisters. And this is wrong. No, you pay on everything. I don't have to pay zakat on the amount which I already paid on it last year. Last year I had 20,000. I paid zakat on it. This year my savings are 30,000. Some people believe that he has to pay zakat only on the difference, which is 10,000. Okay, these are some of the misconceptions that we have in the community. No, you pay zakat, it's an annual obligation on your savings, the total value of your savings. I cannot pay zakat to any family member, so this is another misconception. We'll talk about this at the end, inshallah. Now, gold or silver nisab. Gold nisab, it was 20 dinars at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most popular, opinion is that this 20 dinars are equivalent to 85 grams of gold. If you go to many websites, you'll find another number. I'll give you an idea about the other number. A small difference, but I'll give you an idea. But it has to be 85 grams of pure gold, right? So if it is 18 karat, 16, 14 karat, we have another formula for it, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But it is 85 grams, so the value of 85 grams, this is the nisab, which is, as I said, 2 days ago it was 6,900. Silver nisab is 200 dirhams at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 20 dinars, the value of 20 dinars was equivalent, was equal to the value of 200 dirhams. Nowadays, we have a problem. There is a huge difference between the value of 20 dinars, which is 85 grams of pure gold, and the value of 595 grams of pure silver. There is a huge difference. At the time of Rasulullah, they didn't have this problem. So Islam is not difficult. Our Sharia is not difficult. But we live in a different time. We live with a different system. We're dealing with fiat money. It's a different system. That's it. And we have to manage. We have to find a way how to manage and how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and still fulfill the obligation of zakat. Right? 1 dinar, the weight of 1 dinar, at the time of Rasulullah was 4.25 grams of pure gold. And the weight of 1 dirham was 2.975 grams of silver. Now, 2 days ago, 1 gram was that's the current market price, not the depreciated price, not the resale price. Because if you go to the jewelry, you go to a jewelry store and you want to sell some jewelry, they might give you a different price. And it should be less than this. They give you maybe $70, they pay you. They buy it from you for $70, $60. Allahu a'lam. By talking about here international markets, that was the price, and that was the Nisab, March 9th, 6,917. Right? The lowest price during the whole year was 71. The highest price during the whole year, last year, I'm talking about the last 12 months, was 85. So the highest value of the Nisab was around 7,100. And the lowest was around 1,600, right? You can tell me, okay, how about if we go with the average? The average is around 65. That's okay as long as the average doesn't work all the time. As long as the average is lower than the current value, than today's value. If it is lower, then more fuqara will benefit, more people will give zakat, and it will be in the safer side. But if the average is higher than today's value, then no, you don't go with the average. You go with the today's value of the nisab. So anyway, I'm sharing with you the value of the nisab 2 days ago. And as I said, if you are a new saver, you try to watch your nisab after you have 6,000, you accumulate 6,000. Canadian dollars in your account. So you start watching for the nisab and then you have to pay. If you know the rules, you'll be able to do it, inshallah. Keep track of your savings. Now, nisab of silver. Nisab of silver. 1 kilogram of silver was 893. So which means 1 gram of silver is 0.893. The nisab is 595. grams. So the total value of the nisab is 531. That was March 9th. Huge difference. So should we follow the nisab of gold or the nisab of silver? I gave you the answer here. Huh? Should be silver. Okay, we have one brother here. He's saying it's silver. Should be silver. Sisters, you can participate if you want. The book sells silver, huh? The guide, right?
If you have only 531, you are still fuqara.
If you have 531, you're still faqir.
Faqir, yeah.
Okay, so that means you are choosing gold. Gold. You're going for gold. You're going for silver. Another opinion. Gold. Gold. Okay, because silver doesn't make sense. Okay, why the book here, the sister is saying the book is saying silver? Because there is an opinion that says we follow what is more beneficial for the fuqara. If we go with silver, many people will be paying zakat. So a bigger number of fuqara will benefit from zakat donations. You see what I'm saying? But the way I look at it, I'm talking about my personal opinion here. that we should go with gold nisab. But if you want to follow the nisab, silver, then this is the argument. You know, the sister, she said in the book is silver. That's the argument. What is more beneficial for the fuqara? I believe in this argument that we are supposed to do what is more beneficial for the fuqara, unless there is injustice, and I believe in this case would be injustice will happen. Why? Because someone who has 600 in his account is faqir nowadays. If he's single, he doesn't have family. What do you think about 600 as a saving? He needs to pay for the rent and bills and food, and 600 is nothing. This person might be going to Islamic organizations and asking for help. Well, hadith al-mashhur الذي ذكرته, the famous hadith that I mentioned, is the hadith of Mu'adh. When Mu'adh went to Al-Yaman, Rasulullah ﷺ sent him as an envoy, as a da'iyah, to the land of Yemen. And he told him, tell them about Tawheed, the Shahada of Tawheed. If they accept the message of Tawheed, tell them about the obligation of Salat. If they accept, they start praying, tell them about the obligation of Zakat. And he said, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. It is taken from the wealthy members of the community and given back to the poor and the needy within the same community. That's why it's important to fulfill the needs of the local community, and that's the idea behind establishing this organization, which is National Zakat Foundation, to fulfill the needs of those who are in need. There are people who believe that there are no fuqara in Canada. We'll talk about it, inshallah. Remind me, we'll talk about it when we talk about those who deserve zakat, the difference between fuqara and masakeen. Maybe we don't have fuqara, but we definitely have masakeen. And there is a difference between them, but both of them deserve to receive zakat or are recipients of zakat. Now, as I said, silver does not make sense at all. And the gold is more stable. The following the gold, the nisab of gold, is the fatwa of the Islamic Research Council affiliated with Al-Azhar University long time ago, when Al-Azhar was, mashallah, when Al-Azhar was, when Al-Azhar was Al-Azhar. Nowadays is a different story. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our brothers and sisters everywhere. So the hadith taken from the wealthy and distributed among the poor. Now here we have two numbers. I'm sure that if you try to study zakat by yourself and check the nisab online, you'll find the other number, 87.48. And for silver, you find the other number, 612 grams. I mean, that's okay. It's another opinion, but the most correct opinion, wallahu alam, is 85 grams. It was verified. It was the conclusion of many major zakat conferences. In the past, they had major conferences organized about zakat, the ibadah of zakat. And there are some highly qualified scholars who made a research about this, and their conclusion was that the value of this 20 dinars is 85 grams of gold, pure gold, not 87. And it is safer. Here we can say it is more beneficial for the fuqara, right? Because more people will be giving zakat. The difference is very small, 2 grams. Yani in Canadian dollars, it's $200 nowadays. So it's not a big difference. The reason they go for 87, because they used to, these people used the traditional way of measuring the weight of 20 dinars. At the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, these dinars, they used to also called mithqal. Mithqal, it could be weight, like in Surah Al-Zalzala, we recited Surah Al-Zalzala, mithqal dharratin, the weight. But mithqal had another meaning too, which is dinar itself. And the scholars who made the research about it, actually some of them went to some museums and some institutions who had the golden dinars from the time of the Umayyad Caliphate and the Abbasid Caliphate. And they were able to weight these dinars, and they found that this is their weight, 4.25 grams, and therefore the nisab should be 85 grams of pure gold. Wallahu ta'ala. And this is what I follow, 85 and 595, Wallahu ta'ala alam, and it is safer. Now, before we talk about the formula of calculating our zakat, I would like to say something about good loans and bad loans. So here, loans is any money that you, is not a liability in your side. Is a money that you advanced, a loan that you advanced, you gave it to someone else. Someone else owe you this money. You are the lender, and he's the borrower, right? If he is in a good health, his financial situation is healthy, and he's not denying the loan, then this is a good loan. And he's doing fine, he's not bankrupt. He didn't say, brother, I have nothing in my account. I need help. I don't have money. I don't know when I'm going to pay you back. Or he's denying the loan, saying, I didn't take anything from you. You don't have proof. Go to the court. So you have nothing with me. Then this person, if he can do nothing about it, say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to account on the day of judgment. We'll meet you there. But you don't have to pay zakat on it. It's a bad loan. It's a bad loan. A good loan is a loan that you gave to someone, as I said, again, who is doing fine, financially he's good, his financial situation is good, and he's admitting the loan. He said, okay, inshallah, he's a family member, he could be a close friend. He said, okay, I'll pay you after 1 year. You have an agreement. He'll pay you after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So this is a good loan, and it should be included in the formula. Short-term, long-term debts or liabilities. Here, I would say liabilities, maybe it's a better term. Any short-term liability is excluded. What is a short-term? Anything that it has to be paid within the coming year, the coming 12 months in the Islamic calendar. Let's say you have a debt obligation, 2,000, 3,000, and you have to pay it after Ramadan by 3 months. You are allowed to take it away from the amount of your zakat. You don't pay zakat on it. Is that clear, Yahwan? This is a short-term liability. Long-term liability, someone bought a house for $500,000 and he has to pay it within 25 years. This is a long-term liability. Is he allowed to calculate the value of this house and exclude it from his wealth? He's not. Because that is not a short-term liability, so he can ignore the rest of the payment, but he's allowed to exclude short-term liabilities, Wallahu ta'ala alam, anything to be paid within the coming year. Now, talking about bad loans, I think I mentioned that if you have a bad loans, you cannot turn it into a zakat payment, because you have to have the intention. And in the beginning, you didn't have the intention of paying zakat, so you cannot turn it into a zakat payment. This is the basic formula, which doesn't include many things, but this is a basic formula. So when you calculate your zakat, you have to look at how much cash you have in your hand, under the pillow, in your bank account, with your grandma, all the cash that you have and you own, right? You need to calculate it. The value of your stock. If you are a speculator, what does it mean? You are a day trader, or someone who you are an active trader. You trade within the period of 12 months. You don't keep your holdings for a long period of time, more than 12 months, more than a year. This is long-term investment. We're talking about short-term investment here. You are an active trader, buying and selling stocks, buying and selling shares in the stock market. So you include the value of your portfolio. On the day you calculate your zakat, on the day you calculate your zakat, you look at the value of your holdings, and then you include everything. You include good loans, and you know what is a good loan, right? Include them. Even if the agreement is for the other party to pay you after 5 years. For 5 years, You will not have this money in your hand, but you are the owner of this money. And you decide to give him a loan for 5 years because he's a close family member, he's a friend. You want to get hasanat, right? This money is not in your hand, but it is a good loan. You need to pay zakat on it every year. Okay, you are not using it, but you are collecting hasanat. So it's an action that you decide to make for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you decided to give a loan, you're not thinking about zakat or about money or profit because you're not allowed to charge him interest. You're thinking about what? About al-akhirah. You're thinking about Jannah. So that's why it's qard hasan. It's called qard hasan, a goodly loan in Islam. And you are allowed to exclude any short-term liability. You look at the total value of your zakatable money, 2.5, if you follow the Islamic calendar, 2.577, if you follow the Gregorian calendar. If you have investment in the stock market and it is a long-term investment, that means you are holding your shares, you're not selling them, you're not buying and selling, you will decide to hold them for with the same company for 2 years, 3 years, then here there is something called a zakatable asset ratio. I guess it is explained, well explained in this guide, if you have this guide. It is well explained. I'll just give you an idea about it here. So basically, you look at the total current assets. But maybe in the guide, it doesn't say that you have to exclude interest income. So you need to look at the financial statement and exclude interest income because you are not supposed to pay zakat on it. When you cash your shares, you sell them, and you receive cash in your hand, as a Muslim, if you know that this company was dealing with riba, you are supposed to give certain amount as a way of purifying your income. But that's a different story. I'm not going to talk about it here. That's investment. We're talking about zakat. So as a Muslim, you are not supposed to pay zakat on this interest income. So when you go and you look for this zakatable asset ratio, take it out from the current asset, because it is interest income, it is usually categorized as a current asset, right? And then divide this number with the market cap. If you go to Yahoo Finance, you'll find the market cap of all these public companies. All these public companies that are traded in the stock market, you'll get their market cap. And then you get this zakatable asset ratio. Let's say an example here. The total current assets is 15 million, and the market cap 90 million. I don't know if this is possible in the stock market, but it's just a number, right? Do they allow companies with this market cap to trade in the stock in the exchange? They do, huh? Okay, pardon? Penny stocks, huh? They're called penny stocks. Okay, it is an example. So the zakatable asset ratio, they have, a different example here in this guide, would be 0.1666. The current value of your holdings, let's say it's 12,000, based on that price on that day, the day you're calculating your zakat. Today, I'm calculating my zakat. Today, the value of my holdings in the stock market is 12,000, right? So I'm talking about one company here. We're dealing with one company, right? If you have you're investing with five companies, you need to do the same, follow the same formula with each company, right? But here I'm talking about one company. Here, the value of your holdings, 12,000, multiply 12,000K by this ratio, and then this is the total of your zakatable portion, 2,000 only. So you don't, because it is long-term investment, you don't pay zakat on the whole amount of your investment here. Because you are not an active trader. Are you able to see the difference, right? You're not an active trader. You are not buying and selling throughout the whole year. So if you decide to hold long-term, investment, this is the way you do it. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Now, zakat, other investments, is due on the total value of your investment in the following cases: mutual funds, because they are the company is an active trader who's you decided to, for example, to invest your money with one company. Mutual funds, like you bought mutual funds, they are actively trading. You know, it's an active investment. So it has to be treated like any item that is kept for trade, for the purpose of trading. Cryptocurrencies, usually this is the case. Bonds are not Sharia compliant. Bonds are not halal because these are interest-bearing securities. All bonds or conventional bonds are haram. But if someone decided to invest in bonds, he has to pay zakat. He still has to pay zakat. Even with cryptocurrencies, my position, there are three opinions about cryptocurrencies: halal, haram, and the middle one is tawakkuf. What is a tawakkuf? Neutral position. They're not saying it's halal, they're not saying it's haram, and this is the position that I am holding right now. I am in the middle. I have this neutral position. I don't tell people it's haram when it comes to cryptocurrencies, and I don't tell them it's halal. But those who are holding this position, other scholars who are more qualified than me, they're saying if you decide to invest in cryptos, you still have to pay zakat. Because they are assets. They are financial assets. And you need to pay zakat on them. Employees with pension plans. So if you have a pension plan, RSP, for example, you need to pay zakat on any amount that you have access to it. If it is locked, you don't have access to it whatsoever. Even if you claim a financial emergency, you go to them and you tell them, I'm dealing with an emergency, I need my money. I don't know if it is possible or not, because I was told if you are facing an emergency and you go and apply, Some of the companies will give you, or banks, they will give you partial access. Some of them will give you full access to your money, right? So it is your duty to find out. If you have access to your money, to your funds, you have to take away penalties. Imagine that you are withdrawing your money from the RSP account. Imagine. Okay, the money is still there in the RSP account. You're not taking it. You're not withdrawing the money. But you just imagine that you're going to the bank and withdrawing your money. What will happen? Most likely the bank will keep around maybe 20%, I would say. This 20%, you don't pay zakat on it. You pay zakat on the value of 80% of your savings in this account. Whether it is RRSP, TFSA, these are vehicles. We don't say RSP is halal or haram because this is a vehicle. This is an account. What makes it halal or haram is the investment. You know, what is in it and how your money is managed. Are you investing in Sharia compliant stocks, will other stocks, whatever? I mean, it's a different story. We're not talking about this today. We're talking about zakat. But if you know that there is some interest income, then you have to take it away and don't pay zakat on it. So if the account is locked, as I said, and this is your responsibility to verify, because there, I had a discussion with an accountant, a well-experienced accountant just yesterday, and he told me there is no RSP account that is locked forever, is what he said. He said he believes that there is some way to get access. Even if they tell you it's locked, if you are facing an emergency, this is what he believes. I'm talking about the feedback of someone who is experienced. I believe he is an experienced accountant. This is what he told me. Because sometimes I receive different feedback from different people, right? But it's not my responsibility to tell you this information. It is your responsibility, if you have RSP account, to find out if you have access to your money or not. If they tell you you don't have access, it's locked, you tell them, if I face an emergency, Do I have access to my account? They tell you yes, and they might tell you 40%, 50%. This is the feedback that I received from some people, right? Some other brothers. They have their own RSP accounts. Then in this case, you pay zakat on this 50%, but you always exclude, take away fees and penalties. Let's say the value of 50% is 20,000. The value of 50%, you have 40,000 in your account. They give you access to 20,000 only. But when you withdraw it, what is left in your hand is not 20,000. What is left in your hand is only 15,000. So you pay zakat on 15,000 or 20,000? 15. You got it, Ikhwan? Jazakumullah khair. RESP, it's a different story. It's for children, you know, registered education saving plan. So here, if the nisab, if the contribution made by parents, the contribution made by parents reaches the nisab, then you need to pay zakat on behalf of your child. You don't pay zakat on the money that came from the government. Why? Because the ownership, if you go back to the slide where we talked about pillars and conditions, maybe we didn't explain it. Yeah, this one here, the last point. Full and complete ownership. What does it mean? That you are the owner of this wealth and you have full access to it. You are able to manage this wealth. Either to use it, you give it as a donation, you do business with it, you have a freedom, complete freedom of using your wealth. I was told one time, a brother told me, I have money in the account. He lives in a different country, right? He used to live here, but he's from a different country too. He had a citizenship of another country. So he said, back home, I have money. But they went through what is called the Arab Spring, and you know, it was a revolution there, a new government. The country was not stable. So the banking system within that country was not stable. You know? So they told people, you don't have access to your money. We give you a small amount every month. He could be a millionaire. He's wealthy. Big amount of money in the bank. He said, you don't have access to your money. Every month we'll give you this amount. That's it. This is the law now. Until, you know, until things will change. So he said, I don't have access to my money. So in this case, he doesn't have to pay zakat on this money that is locked. He's not able to use it. That's why we say full and complete ownership. Now, this is the case with RESP. RESP, if you decide to close the account, this is what happened. The government will take the money back. Is that true? This is what I know. If you decide to close the account of your child, then the government will take back their contribution. So the ownership of your child, of this money coming from the government, is not well established until he reaches the age of 18 and he goes to university. If he doesn't choose to study, it could be a different story. I'm not sure about it. If he chooses to do something else, right? To work, to just work, and not to go to university or... So it could be a different story. I'm not sure about it. You tell me if you know about it. But this is the case. You pay money, zakat, on the contribution of the parents if it reaches the nisab, and you do it on behalf of your child because this is the ownership of your child. You gave, when you deposit money for him, it's a gift from you to him or her. And the money coming from the government is their property too. Business owners. So business owners use the same formula, but they have to add the value of the inventory. Any business merchandise, they have to calculate the value of their business merchandise. No zakat on the value of fixed assets. I'm using here fixed assets with some caution, right? Because there are some big companies, they might buy some buildings and properties, right? And they wait for their price to go up, and then they sell them again. So if a Muslim does this, he has to pay zakat on the value of this property, right? If you do it this way. If you buy a property with the intention of sell it again in the market, you need to pay zakat because it is intended for trade. وَعِدَّتْ لِتِجَارَة Right? But some big companies, I was told, that they buy these properties and they keep them, they don't use them, but on the financial statement, they include them in their fixed assets. And when we calculate our zakat, if it is a publicly traded company, and you calculate your zakat, you are not going to include it in the formula. So it's very difficult. I don't have an answer for that. Because you don't have access to this information. They're telling you this is a fixed asset. But if you are the owner of the business, you know what is a current asset and what is your fixed asset in your company. You know that you have buildings. They're not for sale. They're not kept for trading. You didn't mean to buy them and sell them again in the market. You're using these buildings for your own business. You have equipment. It's not for sale. You have furniture. You have vehicles used in the business operation. So these are fixed assets, defined as fixed assets. You don't pay zakat on them. You don't pay zakat on their value. Anything that is used in your business and it is not meant for trading, you don't pay zakat on it. But if you have raw material, you're going to use it to make some new products, you include its value. Because you're going to use it to make new products, and the value of this raw material will be included in the final price, right? So you pay zakat on it. I use the market price to calculate the value of your business merchandise, wallahu ta'ala. Again, there are some ulama, some organizations who said you use the wholesale price, but I don't think this is a better choice. Use the market price. It's more beneficial for the fuqara because the market price is higher than the wholesale price all the time, right? And this is the value of money that you're going to receive when you sell your products, right? This is the money that you're going to receive in your hand. Now, jewelry, zakat on jewelry. No zakat on halal, any halal jewelry if it is for personal use. But in the guide, they advise people, I do the same thing. I tell people, this is the opinion of majority of Muslim scholars. Majority of Muslim scholars. That there is no zakat on jewelry if it is for personal use. And this is the opinion of 5 sahabis, right? And the opinion of Imam Malik, Shafi'i, Imam Ahmed, you know, and other scholars. The other imams and some sahabis believe, yes, there is zakat on jewelry, right? If it is for personal use. But I tell people, if you want to be in the safe side, you can pay zakat on any halal jewelry that is meant for personal use. That's okay, that's fine. Zakat is obligatory if the jewelry is saved as a store of value. There are people who do it. They keep it in the bank. You have a box in the bank, and it is there, not for personal use. They keep it as a store of value. They have to pay zakat on it. If it is owned by a male, why a male? Because it's haram for him to wear gold, necklaces and rings. And the only thing that is permissible for male members of the community is what? Is a ring made of silver. How about a necklace? It's not supposed to. But in this culture, in this land, young people are saying, no, it's the urf now. It's the custom. And they are wearing, you know, this kind of necklaces. But they're not supposed to. The only exception in the books of fiqh is a ring made of silver. Then this is halal for male members of the community. Now, if it is intended for trade, business merchandise, someone who has a jewelry store, definitely has to pay zakat on it. If it is used as a decoration, he has to pay zakat on it. And here we also need to pay attention to the value of utensils made of gold and silver. There is a scholarly consensus that we have to pay zakat on them. Zakat is mandatory on these things, you know, these plates and knives and spoons that are made of gold and silver, we need to pay zakat on their value. Now, if the gold is less than 24 carats, let's say it's 18. I have an example here of 18. Now, we have the price in international markets, $80, for example. It was $80 2 days ago. Depreciated price, what is the depreciated price? It's the resale price. You go to the jewelry store, and then they don't buy it. They don't pay you for $80. They give you $70 or $60 per gram, right? So this is what you're going to receive in your hand if you are selling jewelry to a jewelry store. Let's say here Fatima owns 1,000 grams of 80K gold jewelry, 80 carats. But we said the nisab is always calculated based on 24 carat pure gold. So what is the formula? She has to multiply 1,000 by 18 carat, and the total is divided by 24, which is pure gold. And she will end up having only 750 grams of pure gold instead of 1,000. That's a huge difference. So using the depreciated price, 1,000 multiplied by 70, the total value of her wealth would be, zakatable wealth would be 70,000. But if she follows this formula, the value of her zakatable assets will be only 52,000. That's a huge difference. So she doesn't have to pay zakat on 70,000 because her gold is 18 carat. And you can apply this formula on any other type of gold, 14 or even 10 or 12. Do they call it gold, 10 carats? Do they call it gold? If it is 10 carats or 12? They call it white gold, eh? Okay. But anyway, you can follow the same formula, inshallah. طيب, gemstones and diamonds. And if you tell me why, I don't know why. There's no zakat on them. There is no zakat on following items unless they are strictly intended for trade. If you are a business person selling these gemstones and diamonds, if you are a business person, then you have to pay zakat on their value. But how about if you keep them at home? You are wealthy and your wife is wealthy and she decided to keep these gemstones and diamonds. Their value is 500,000. But they're kept at home for personal use. You don't have to pay zakat on them. As I said, I don't have the answer for why. Eh? It is an asset, but I don't know. The ulama tried to explain it. Their argument, they say, the main argument that I heard and I read about it, they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command Muslims to pay zakat on every type of wealth. For example, if you have camels, you need to pay zakat on them, whether you are a businessman or not, if they reach a certain number. If you have cows, cattle, you need to pay zakat on them. But if you have rabbits, there's no zakat on rabbits unless you're keeping them for trade. You're buying and selling. Chicken, there is no. By default, there is no zakat on chicken unless you are a businessman. You're selling them, buying and selling chicken. But when it comes to sheep, for example, you don't have to be a businessman. If you own 40 sheep, then there is one sheep. It has to be paid as a zakat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Muslims to pay zakat on some type of wealth, and He did not command us to pay zakat on some other types, right? They said gold and silver were mentioned in the Quran, they were mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these diamonds and gemstones were not mentioned. So we cannot, you know, oblige Muslims or make it an obligation upon Muslims to pay zakat on something that is not mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah. Does it sound like a good argument? I think it is. Wallahu alam. This is the only argument that I know about. Otherwise, they could be very expensive sometimes. But there is no zakat. And all the other precious metals, other than gold and silver, there is no zakat on them. Unless, again, they are meant for trade. No zakat on any real estate. Here, many people are confused about this. Many people. I face these questions every year. No zakat on any real estate property unless it is strictly, I'm saying strictly, because I want to give you, this is the answer, strictly intended for trade. That means when you buy this property, your intention is to resell it again in the market and make money. Here you have to pay zakat on the value of this property. Value of the property. Even if it is $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, you pay zakat on the value when you calculate your zakat. Because you have a clear intention that this property, you're not buying it for your son, you're not buying it for future use, you're not buying it and just leave it there and you don't know what to do with it. You're not buying it because the prices are good. I mean, their properties are very cheap in the market. I just want to buy some properties and leave them. It has to be clear intention that you are buying them for the sake of what? Making money. Selling them again in the market and make money. When you have this clear intention, then the value of these properties has to be included. Again, because it is not a zakatable asset. It was not mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. But if it is a rental property, then you pay zakat on the rental income. Definitely, there is no, it's cash in your hand. There is no issue, yani there is no disagreement about it. If you say, I don't know what to do with it, there is no zakat on it unless you decide to sell it. When you sell it, you buy. You change your mind, you want to sell it again. When you sell it, you pay zakat on it.
Sorry, can I clarify that?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. That's an agreement between Muslim scholars. You don't pay zakat on the value of the property. If it is a rental property, you pay zakat on the rental income. You add it to your savings and you pay zakat on it. If you spend it on your family, you pay nothing. Let's say you got a rental income of 50,000. You have one apartment, you are renting one apartment. And you got 50,000 as a rental income. But you spend the whole amount on your family. Then you don't have to pay zakat. Because you spend it on your family. It's not a saving. Now, people who receive the zakat. Okay, we don't have time. We have only 10 minutes left. You want me to talk about this or you have questions? Because that's... Okay, let's go through this... this slide quickly, inshallah. Poor people, they are called fuqara. These people, they either have nothing, no income, no properties, or they have a small amount of wealth, which is usually less than 50% of what they need for the whole year. Their income for the whole year is less than 50% of what they need for the whole year. Family, they need 40,000. To survive and pay for the basic needs. Their income is less than 50% of what they need, less than 20,000. Their income is only 15,000. They need 40,000. 15,000 is less than 50% of what they need for the whole year. These people are fuqara, and they definitely deserve zakat. They are number one. They are on the top of the list. إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين. Allah started with them. They are on the top of the list. The second type of people, they are المساكين. مساكين, they are not able to fulfill their basic needs, but their financial situation is better than the فقراء. Which means that if they need 40,000, like the first family, but their income is 30,000. 30,000. So 30,000 is way better than 15,000, but they need 40,000. They're still, their situation is very tight. They're not able to fulfill their basic needs. And that's why we have ISC Helping Hands. And we have other programs in Canada and other cities. We don't have fuqara in Canada. Why do we don't have fuqara? Because they're still receiving child benefit, single mother. Maybe she doesn't have a job, but she's receiving child benefit. She could be receiving some other type of help from the government. But we know life is very expensive and it's very difficult. If you don't have 5,000 as a monthly budget for a family, it will be very difficult for you to fulfill your basic needs these days, right? So we have masakin. We can say that we have masakin. And that's why we need to sometimes, give zakat and help our brothers and sisters in the community. This is one of the misconceptions that we have in our community. I always hear people saying, we don't have fuqara here because the government is giving them. Well, compare between them who are receiving money from the government and between how much you are spending on your family, and you know the difference. Compare and you know the difference. Okay, if you have a family of 5 and 6, you know how much you are spending every month on your family. Do you think a government will give you this amount of money? They will not. If you need to spend 7,000 on your family, you think the government will give you 7,000? Just be reasonable, right? They will give you maybe 3,000, Allahu alam. What are you going to do with the rest? So anyway, employed, those who are employed to collect, distribute zakat al-amiluna alayha, usually they are employed by the government, Muslim government. Sometimes, they are employed by zakat organizations and they are paid their salaries from zakat. Those inclined towards accepting Islam and mu'allafati qulubuhum, they could be new Muslims, or could be leaders in their communities, or could be someone who is interested. But usually, this zakat is managed by governments. This is the opinion of overwhelming majority of Muslim scholars, that this zakat given to those people whose hearts are inclined towards Islam should be managed by the government, not individuals, or zakat organizations. Captive and slaves, if someone is in jail and you know that he's innocent, and if we pay some money as a community, we might get him out, or he committed a crime, but he made tawbah and he became a better person, and if we pay some money, zakat money, we are allowed to pay some zakat money to get him out of jail. Those in debt, don't forget, Muslim students who have student loans. It could be a family member, he could be your son. He has a student loan and he's not able to pay it back. It's okay, you can give him from your zakat. Or a family member, even your mother or father. If they have a debt, you're not supposed to give zakat to your parents. But in this case, you are allowed to give them zakat. If they have a debt, obligation, and they are not able to fulfill this obligation, you are allowed to give them zakat for this purpose. Children or parents or family members, the rest of the family members, brothers, sisters. In the way of Allah, fi sabilillah, in the old days it was given to those who volunteer with Muslim armies, fi sabilillah. But there are another group of scholars who said fi sabilillah could be expanded. It might include masajid and da'wah programs and students of knowledge. So Allahu alam, in this country we follow the second opinion. We said it is permissible because this is how we protect the identity of our Muslim communities. Wallahu alam. A stranger traveler in the old days, he could be wealthy. He went to another country, but his money is not with him. He's poor in another country. But back home he's wealthy. In the old days it was a legitimate case. Nowadays it's not. Because if he goes to another country and he lost his... He loses his wallet. He can just call his family if he's wealthy back home and they will send him money. E-transfer through Western Union. There are many means, right? It's not possible. This case is not a legitimate case during our times. Wallahu ta'ala. Now we have only 5 minutes. Can we take some questions? Yes, brother. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
So what would be the definition of personal use? Because now
personal use, the...
So use, because usually the ladies, they have quite a lot of jewelry, they don't wear it every day.
She doesn't have to wear it every day. She doesn't have to. As long as her intention is to use it. Even if she's using this jewelry only on different occasions when she goes to weddings and parties and aqiqa parties and, you know. Yeah, if it is not kept as a store of value, is not for trade, is not owned by a male member of the community, is not a decoration, if it is personal use, halal, used in a halal way, then this is the opinion of majority of Muslim scholars that there is no zakat on this type of jewelry. But as I said, again, many organizations, many other scholars, they said, maybe it is safer to pay zakat on it. If someone wants to follow this path, that's okay and that's good. And more people will benefit from zakat.
One other quick question. So when we give the zakat money to person A, do we need to let him know that this is from zakat?
Okay, I will allow only for this second question and move to other people. Yeah, you don't have to. When you're paying zakat, giving your zakat to someone, you don't have to tell him that this is zakat. So now maybe to be fair, yeah, we'll give a chance to sisters. Go ahead.
Do you
pay zakat on what?
Trust account.
Okay, I'm not sure about that. What kind of trust account? Could you give me more information about it? Because there are some people who say, okay, there is no zakat on it, but I still need to understand it.
So basically, if one of the parents passed away, for example,
do you have access to it?
No, another person is not doing.
Yeah, but do you have access? Can you have access to it? It's all about access.
The child might have access to it after he turned 18.
Okay. So it's all about, I understand now. I understand why some scholars said you don't have to pay zakat, because there is lack of access. If you don't have access whatsoever, you don't pay zakat on it, because the ownership is not complete. But the moment you have access, then you need to pay zakat on it. Ma'alesh, I will, just to be fair, because we don't have time. We have only 2 minutes. Yes, brother. Yunus or the brother behind, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
My question is, for the RRSP, is the zakatable asset ratio applicable if the RSP has stocks? Or?
Yeah, it is applicable. If it is a long-term investment, you follow the same formula. As long as it is a long-term investment, follow the same.
Sorry, can I just ask a follow-up on that one? Okay.
Pardon?
Well, on that question. Yeah.
If it is a long-term investment, yeah, you need to follow the same formula. Yeah, you need to know the companies and follow the same formula. Yes, another brother.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you start some short-term investment, and because of the market conditions, it becomes long-term. So can you consider your short-term investment to start as a long-term investment? And
you change the niyyah? You mean this is what you're trying to say? Yeah, if you keep it more than 1 year, yes, it's a long-term investment. But if it is traded within the period of 12 months, it's not a long-term investment, and you have to include the value of your portfolio in your zakat. You have a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's right.
So if, as an example, I made an investment and I won, does this still count on that I have to make my zakat more?
Yeah, you pay zakat on the profit. By the way, when it comes to the profit, the hawl, the deadline of the profit is the same as the capital. I'll finish with this. I'll finish with this, inshallah, because many people are confused about this, the nisab. And I need to explain it. The nisab, the hawl, is the passing of 12 months, right? There are many people who are confused about their, for example, their monthly salaries or the income that they just received before their deadline, 1 month, 15 days, 2 months. They said, this money did not stay with me for 12 months. Do I have to pay zakat on it? Okay. If this money is a profit from a business operation, it has the same deadline like the capital. So on the same date, your zakat anniversary, you pay zakat on the capital and the profit. And this is an agreement between Muslim scholars. Now, if it is a new income, like a salary is a new income every month, then here you are technically allowed to keep a different hawl deadline for every income, technically. But this is difficult for all people. They said it is difficult. And what all people are doing, they pay zakat on their zakat anniversary, and that's it. They don't worry about how long this income stayed with them. It makes it easy for everyone. They would be paying zakat in advance for some types of money or some sort of income. They would be paying zakat on it. It didn't stay with them for 12 months. This will make it easy for your own convenience. You just calculate how much you have on that day, the day you are supposed to pay your zakat, and that's it, and you pay 2.5. But in one case, for example, let's say someone is supposed to pay zakat in Ramadan. In Sha'ban, he sold a house. The value of this house, 500,000. This is a big amount of money here. Do I have to pay zakat on it? I don't have. I just sold it in Sha'ban. It stayed with me only for 1 month. He's allowed, if he wants, to say, okay, this half a million, I will have a different deadline for it. I will keep it in my account, but he has to pay zakat on it next Sha'ban, not Ramadan. Because if he pays zakat on it on Ramadan, it will be 13 months. But if he pays on Sha'ban, it will be 1 year, 12 months. He's allowed to have a separate deadline for some type of, you know, wealth if it is a big amount and he cares about it and he doesn't want to pay zakat on it in advance. Is that clear, Ikhwan? I'm sorry, we don't have enough time.
Is he allowed to pay in Ramadan just 1 month
later? Yeah, he's allowed, yeah. He's allowed, yeah. So we have to make the adhan, jazakumullahu khairan, and after Isha prayer, I'm busy. I cannot answer your questions. I'm sorry. I have a meeting. So, but I am available in Calgary. Whenever you have a question, you can, inshallah, ask and we'll answer your questions if we know the answer. بإذن الله تعالى. جزاكم الله خير.